Thank you, praise team, for leading us this morning. Boy, I didn't have a frog in my throat when I was singing, so I'm not sure what's going on, but I'll get over it. Anyway, well, it's good to see you here, and I know it sounds strange, but it seems to me this year is already flying by. We're down to the third Sunday of February already, and getting closer and closer to pike minnow fishing season. So it's probably not a big day to you, but it happens to be on a Monday this year, and I can't wait. So I guess I'm gonna have to. A lot of things happen between now and then, and one of the things that we're going to be doing now until the Easter season is we're going to the theme of this period of time is going to be discovering Jesus. We talked about knowing God, and we talked a lot about God and who He is, and I'm still convinced that we don't have a truly adequate idea of who God is. I thought that this morning in our Sunday school time, and again I invite you to join us for Sunday school. We're still going through the study on heaven, and it's probably safe to come now because we got done talking about hell today, so we don't need to talk about that anymore, I'm hoping. So we invite you to come to that, but one of the things that just came to my mind today in Sunday school classes is we still just we don't have a complete picture of God, and we really need to have that complete picture to God to really understand why everything is the way it is. But for now, we're going to be looking at the second part of the Trinity, who is God, by the way. So as we discover Jesus, we are knowing God better because Jesus is God. We're going to look at the I Am passages over the next several weeks. As you read the New Testament, there are many times that that Jesus uses the word I Am. And it's important because when He says I Am, He is telling us something about Himself. And so we're going to be looking at the I Am passages because it helps. And believe it or not, we can't cover them all between now and Easter because there's too many of them. But we're going to start this morning by looking at a passage of Scripture that is one of those I Am passages, but it's not it's different than you would think. And actually, as we look at this passage of Scripture, it probably isn't ever used in defining or discovering Jesus Christ as an I Am passage, but He does reveal Himself to us in this passage of Scripture. What we look at this passage of Scripture as is an invitation that Jesus is giving to people to come and to come to Him. We're going to look at this invitation, and as we look at this invitation, I think we oftentimes mistakenly look at it as a single invitation, that Jesus is just calling, but He is calling people to come to Him, and that's all He's doing. But actually, there's three invitations in this passage of Scripture, I'm going to read it for you, and then we're going to look at those three invitations that He offers in this passage of Scripture. Our text is found in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, starting with verse 28 and going through the end of the chapter. We read, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it it is to have your word. And in our country, have it so readily available to us. Lord, help us to get into your word. Help us to open it, to read it, to study it, to apply it to our lives. Father, in your word, you reveal truth to us. In your word, you reveal yourself to us. Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, in which Christ gives us an invitation to come, help us, Lord, to see the fullness of that invitation. Help us, Lord, to truly understand the words that Jesus is speaking here. Because, Lord, it is important to us that we know these, but not just know them, but that we act on them. Father, speak to us now through your word, through the prompting of your Holy Spirit. Lay in our hearts, Lord, the words and the message that you want us to learn. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A very familiar passage of Scripture for all of you, but like I said, and this is the first time that's really hit me, part of it comes with reading Warren Wiersbe commentary on it. He is a very practical person, and he breaks things down so logically. But as we look at this great invitation, there are actually three invitations here. The first one is to come, and we will talk about that. The next one is to take. Or another word of saying that, and I thought about this last night, the word take from me. But I think maybe even a better word if you want to cross take out is join. Come, join, and the last word is learn. So he is offering here a threefold invitation to us, and this is an invitation that I think that most of us have not taken full acceptance of yet. I think we oftentimes stop at the first invitation, which is to come to me. You know, and it's a great one. If we look at that verse, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus' invitation here is an all-inclusive invitation. This is not just pertaining to Jews, but this is pertaining to everyone in the hearing of his voice. And quite frankly, because God had it written down in his word, this invitation is for us. And the first part of the invitation is for us to come. To come. And to for those who are weary and heavy laden. Now, maybe we want to look at that and say, well, okay, what is that about? Jesus is talking about a spiritual context here, and we have to understand what is going on in that particular day that Jesus is speaking. In that particular day, the religious order, the religious leaders of that time, were putting a tremendous burden on the hearts, on the backs of people. They had all these rules and they had all these regulations that they had to fulfill, and they themselves did not ever really help anyone with their issues. They just simply pointed them out. You know, one of the things that I've learned to say is, if you are going to point out that something is wrong, then you also need to point out to me what you can do about it, or how you can help. You know, and so it was a tough time to be a follower of God because of the religious leaders of that day. And so Jesus says, come to me. Now, he invites people to come to him oftentimes in the Scripture. John 7:37, says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So Jesus here is calling to all of us, especially though to those who are weary, who are tired, who feel defeated in their spiritual life. Or maybe even, let's not limit it to spiritual life, they feel defeated, period. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One of the things that I struggle with, and I'm sure there's others here that join me in the wintertime, is depression. You know, I have one asking, raise your hand if you're depressed. I'm going to raise mine because I'm depressed. The darkness has a tremendous effect on me. And even though I love rain, I'm not real fond of snow right now, but I love rain. I look outside, you know, this morning it was sunny. If you saw that 10 minutes, that the sun was out. And now it's raining, which again, I love rain, but the darkness has a profound effect on me. And I get depressed. And if you've ever struggled with depression, depression, at least it affects me in the fact that I have no motivation to do anything. I can't do the simplest of things. I sit down on the bed to put my socks on, and I sit there for 5 minutes trying to figure out which one to put on first. It doesn't make any difference. I'm trying to figure out which one goes on which foot. Well, it doesn't make any difference. You know, nowadays, socks go on your feet. You know, it makes a difference if they match. But, you know, that's not. And then I get my socks on, and then, you know, it's like, it's time to put my shoes on. Getting dressed for me is a long process. Because of right now, I am somewhat under depression. So, yeah, I'm weary, and I'm kind of heavy laden. Is there anything really wrong in my life? No. Thank the Lord for that. But you know, I need to come to Jesus and just give to Him. Say, Lord, you know where I'm struggling. I want to give it to you. Because that's what He wants. He wants me to come, and He wants me to give it to Him. And if you are struggling with something, this invitation is for you. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Him. He says, He will give me rest. Now, when you're depressed, you can sleep and sleep and sleep. And guess what? You're still tired. You're still tired. It feels like I can't rest. Because of my depression. But see, I need to give that to Jesus. And He's calling for me to do that. As well as when it comes to spiritual things. And the invitation, again, is to all people. Is to all people. In the day that the Jews really believed, again, there were two groups of people. There were the Jews and the non-Jews. And that was it. And the Jews were with God, and the non-Jews were not with God. They were told, they called them Gentiles. But Jesus didn't say, come to me, you Jews who are heavy. He says, come to me all. See, our God wants all people to come to Him. Will all people come to Him? No. But the invitation is to all people. 1 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. See, God's grand scheme of things is that He wants all people to come. And when Jesus came, He had the same attitude. Of course, He is God. And He wants all people to come to Him. Especially those who were weary and laden. And again, you know, I had to stop and think this week about, when I read about, I have some verses that talk about the religious leaders of that time and what was happening. Like for instance, Matthew 23:4, Jesus says, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with such as a finger. He's talking about the religious leaders. They love to lay the burden on the congregation or on the people, but they themselves will do nothing to lift that burden. Acts 15:10. Again, after Jesus' death and resurrection, we have this. It says, now therefore, why do you, and this is actually Peter speaking in this context, but why therefore, now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the necks of his disciples a yoke which neither your fathers nor we have been able to bear? And again, he's talking about this pressure from the religious elite who says, okay, you have to do all these things. You have to jump through all these hoops. Well, and Peter is saying, hey, your forefathers didn't do that. And why is it that you're putting it on us to do that? Luke 11:46, again, Jesus speaking, but he said, woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh down, when you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burden with one of your fingers. Now, when I mention lawyers, don't say, yeah, he's really grilling the lawyers. No, this is not talking about legal lawyers. It's talking about those who are, who protect the law of God, that type of lawyer. And again, he says, he puts things on you, but is not willing to help you get those things off. You know, and I thought about that. And I thought about that, and I'm thinking, do we today, as leaders, and I'm talking more to myself and Steve and Dean and maybe the deacons, do we place burdens on our flocks that aren't supposed to be there? Are we making you do things and say things and act like things that we think you should act and say and do rather than what God really requires of you today? Does the church make it difficult for people to come to Jesus Christ? Are we putting hurdles in front of people? Are we putting barricades in front of our doors so that people can't come to Christ because you have to jump over this hurdle before you can come? Jesus doesn't say that. He says, come to me after you've cleared all these hurdles and washed your hands and washed your feet, changed your clothes, put on your suit and tie. Come to me. That's what he says. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And now, what kind of rest is he talking about here? Now, I mentioned about a physical rest before that I would because I'm struggling with depression, it seems like I can sleep and sleep and sleep and not have rest. He's not talking about that in this particular case. We go to Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus knows that true rest and peace, and those words are almost synonymous with each other. True rest and peace comes with a right relationship with God. Not with having this and having that and having a lot of time to vacation or retirement. No, true rest comes with a relationship with God through faith, through the work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is calling us to come and to have that relationship with him. Now, he goes further than that. And I believe probably most of us in this room have accepted that invitation and have come to know Jesus Christ. If you haven't, I would like to talk with you. Pastor Steve would like to talk with you. One of our deacons would like to talk with you about how you can come to Jesus Christ. You don't have to jump any hurdles. You don't have to jump through any hoops or anything like that. You just need to come to him, and we'd love to tell you how to do that. But the first thing is to come, but that is the very basic thing to do. Come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. But then he goes on, and he says, in verse 29, the first section of that, he says, take my yoke upon you. Again, a language that maybe we're not real familiar with. Most of you know what a yoke is, right? It's the yellow thing in an egg. You know, I try humor, you know, just make sure you're still listening. That is a yoke, but he's not talking about eggs here. I mean, how funny would that be? Take my yoke upon you? And no, yoke is the thing that you put on animals, that you can put the... they had tractors when I was a kid, so I'm not real familiar with the old yoke, and you know, but they would, if you had two oxen, they put a yoke on them, so they would pull together, and then they connect the reins and the pulley, the cables, the rope. I don't know, whatever they did to hook them to whatever it is they were doing, you know. But actually, to bring it up to modern times, yoke means servitude. So Jesus is saying, join me. Join with me in my work. Join with me. Just don't just come and know me. Yes, that's the great first step. And by doing that, you have the salvation and you have the rest of being in a right relationship with God. But there's more than that. Take my yoke, join with me, and serve with me. Pick up my work. And go with me. Now we see Jesus inviting people to come in Matthew 4:18 and 19. As Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So he is inviting them to join him. And he will make them fishers of men. Mark 2:14, he does the same thing as he's passing by a tax collector. And it says, as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in a tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. John 1:43 says, the next day proposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Now, the thing that I like about these passages of Scripture is he didn't say to Peter and Andrew, "Okay, hey, you guys, go home, clean up. For goodness sakes, get rid of that smell of that fish odor. And follow me." No, he says, "Follow me." He didn't say to Levi, "Okay, you know, Levi, I want you to leave this thing, take all the money and give it back, or go and confess to the priest." And no, he says, "Levi, you follow me." And then the same thing with Andrew. With Philip. "Follow me." He calls them to follow. See, and this call to take my yoke is a call for us to follow him. Not just come and know him, but to follow him. Do what it is that he would want us to do. In John 12:26, he says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So we get the next step in it. Come to Jesus. Yes, you've got to do that before you can serve him. But then when you come to him, don't just connect with him and know him and accept him, but work with him. Serve him. Take his yoke upon you. And if we look at that passage of scripture, we'll read that verse a little bit farther down. I'm going to read, Mark, I don't think I put that on the overhead, but let me just read the fullness of that verse. It says, come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, wait a second. Okay, so there's rest when we come to know him, yes. But there's even a deeper rest for our souls when we connect ourselves to him and serve him and follow him, doing what he wants us to do. And that kind of rest sounds like this. It sounds like what is Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this is even a deeper peace and a deeper rest than he talked about in verse 28. Yes, there is peace and rest when we come to know Jesus Christ. But there's even a greater peace and rest when we serve Jesus Christ, when we join with him in service. And then the last of Jesus' invitations to us, we find, again, in verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And this is the I am. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, Jesus reveals something about him that is totally different than the religious leaders of those days. Jesus is humble. He is humble. He is meek. Jesus is meek and he is gentle. You know, yes, he's God. But Jesus is revealing something about himself that is very opposite of the religious leaders of those days. They were not humble, they were not meek, they were not gentle, they were not caring, but Jesus Christ is. And he's saying this, he's telling them a little bit about himself. I am this. Yes, I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. Those are things that we're going to be looking at coming up. I am he. But here we have this just very tender moment when he says, I am and I am gentle. That is our Lord and Savior. And he's calling us. And so we can come and we can join and we can learn because he cares about us. There's a gentleness about Jesus, about God. There's a meekness about God, a humility. You know, we have a humble God. Isn't that interesting? We have a humble God. So we can come to him because these are the things that Jesus, and you take it again, you look at all his accolades. He's the Son of God, he's the King of Kings, he's the Messiah. And, you know, I mean, someone who has all those titles, and he's humble, and he's meek, and he's mild. So we don't need to be afraid to come to Jesus Christ because he's gentle with those who come to him. He's not gentle with those who don't, but he is gentle with those who come to him. That is what our Lord and Savior is like. And that goes clear back to the Old Testament when we see a prophecy of Jesus Christ for the Messiah. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion, shout in triumph, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. But clear back, one of the prophecies about Jesus Christ, and we know that Jesus Christ fulfills prophecy because those words about Jesus Christ are exactly what happened in the New Testament. He was humble. He came riding into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. And Paul testifies to Christ, who he is to in 2 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2, when he says, "Now I, Paul, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent." But Paul is saying, I have taken upon myself the attitude of Jesus Christ, who meekness and gentleness. And we go on that, you know, we are called to do that. But again, this concept that we need to learn from Jesus Christ. To learn from Jesus Christ how we are to live life. He is an example to us of how we are to live life. John 13:15 says, "For I have given you an example that you also should do as I did for you." 1 John 2:6, "The one who says he abides with him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." We need to learn, if we say we've come to Jesus Christ and we've joined with Jesus Christ, we need to learn from Jesus Christ. That's what he called his disciples, is that they could learn from him and they could learn of him also in that. And then one of the things that he says here in verse 30, he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, and it's kind of like, is that true? It's true. That's what Jesus Christ said. It's true. Is that what is happening in our churches? Not necessarily. I think sometimes we try to put a tremendous burden on our people. But Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yes, you join with him, you serve him. But in doing that, there is peace and that there is joy. And he doesn't give us more to do than we can handle. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." They're not overbearing. They're not going to run us into the ground. In fact, by connecting with Jesus Christ, by coming to him, by joining with him, by learning from him, we are not laying burdens upon ourselves, but we are actually lifting burdens off of us. Because coming to Jesus Christ, am I going to say that it's easy? You know, because we are called to do some things very different than what the world is doing. And right now the world does not take kindly to us doing things different than it wants us to do. In fact, it's kind of setting its sight on people who do things different than they think things should be. And quite frankly, as Christians, we are called to be different from the world. Not necessarily to separate ourselves from the world, but to be different, to act different. From the world. And so, yes, they're kind of setting our sights on it. But when we come to Jesus Christ, we have, first of all, salvation through Jesus Christ. But that's just the beginning. We have peace through Jesus Christ. When we go the step further and connect with Jesus Christ and join with him and take up his yoke, then we even know a greater peace that we will only know by having Jesus Christ go with us through our day and through our week when we connect with him. And then to learn from him. He is our example. He is our example. The Bible says that time and time again that Jesus Christ has sent us an example to follow. How can you follow the example of Jesus Christ if you do not learn what he did and who he was? This is a great invitation, but one that I don't think we have fully taken hold of yet. And we need to. We need to. We need to not just come, but we need to join and learn. And when we do, God gives us a peace, gives us a tranquility, a rest that, quite frankly, this world does not understand and will never understand until and if it would come to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the peace that we have. We thank you that you have called us, not certain people, but Lord, you have called everyone to you. Lord, we know that the sad fact is not everyone is going to come to you. But Lord, again, the invitation has been given to us to come. And Lord, I trust that most of us here have come to you. But if there's any here, Lord, that has not made that first step of coming and giving and accepting you as Lord and Savior of their life, Father, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you draw them to you right now. But Lord, there might be many of us here that have never joined with you in service, that have taken up the yoke and served with you. Lord, you are gentle, you are meek, you are humble, you are kind. We do not need to be afraid to serve with you and to join with you in service. You will take care of us. In fact, Lord, you will give us a peace that's even greater than this world can even comprehend. And Father, I pray that we would endeavor our entire lives to learn of you. Lord, we can never fully know you this side of eternity, but Lord, it's a great thing for us to strive to do. Lord, thank you for this invitation. And I pray that whatever level that each one of us is here this morning is at, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we would move on. And that we would go deeper and deeper. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.